Firm as a rock, I will cling to my Savior. He is my hope where'er I may be. Oh, what a joy and peace in believing there is a home preparing for me. My longing eyes, my faith behold, the gates of love, the streets of gold. With Christ my Lord I there shall be, and wear a crown laid up for me.
Firm as a rock I will cling to my Savior, walking with him no danger I fear.
How can I want when he is my shepherd? How can I fall when he is so near? My longing eyes, my faith behold, the gates of pearl, the streets of gold. With Christ my Lord I there shall be, and wear the crown laid up for me. Firm as a rock I will cling to my Savior, praising his word, adoring his love, praising his name whose infinite mercy leadeth my soul to mansions above. My longing eyes, my faith behold, the gates of pearl, the streets of gold. With Christ my Lord I there shall be, and wear the crown laid up for me.
Amen. Thank you, guys. That's going to be a glorious day. We get to see the crowns that God has for us, that we are going to be able to cast at his feet. What an amazing opportunity that awaits us. And so we look forward to that. It is a blessing, again, a long awaited, but it's a blessing that we are able to have the Lopez with us today. Thank you so much for making an effort to try to be here today. They've got a busy schedule in the next many weeks, and so we need to be praying for them as they would have good traveling mercies, that God would get them off of those roads that they don't know where they're going, and get them to the right destinations that he talked about in Sunday school. But we need to be praying for them as they travel. Pray for the situation with the family and everything, that God would just connect all the dots and help them. It's like I said, it's a privilege to have. We look at our missionaries as our hands around the world. Really, our missionaries are an extension of us, really us reaching out. And that's really a neat thing. You think about the different missionaries that we have, and so Faith Bible Church can reach out to the different parts of the world, and we can reach people. And that's really what a missionary is churches reaching out to the world. And so we're grateful that we have a place in Spain that can be reached out to. And it's so good to hear that they're hearing the truth, they're hearing the word of God, and to take them in their lives so that they can come to Christ and live in Christ. And so, again, thank the Lord that they are with us just this morning. And so listen as much as you can, learn as much, take notes so that you can know how to pray for them in Spain. And so, brother, why don't you come and share with us what God has for us today.
Pastor Madrid, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Well, good morning to all of you again. Actually, we had a good time in Sunday school together with many of you. And some of you don't know us probably. We came to Faith Bible Church actually we came to America in 1983 to another church, and we met some of you. And then we came in 1994 for deputation. The Lord brought us to the United States to raise support and go back to Spain. So we were able to raise support in 20 months. From 94 to 96, in 1996, we went back to Spain to start a church in the city of Mataró. Mataró is a city 30 minutes north of Barcelona, 125,000 people, and we started the church from scratch. My family of four children, my wife, myself. So the Lord allowed us to rent a storefront there, and then 5 years later, the Lord gave us a big storefront that we were able to buy. And actually, in the 5 years when we were renting the place, I had a very small office, and I said, Lord, if you give us a larger place, I would really like to have a larger office. So I was painting that larger office that the Lord gave us, and the thought came to my mind, Joaquin, this office is not for you. So forget about it. So I almost dropped, you know, the ruler with the paint, and I said, ah, forget it. So the thought came to my mind again, this place is not for you, Joaquin. So the Lord used Brother Rodrigo and Rebecca that were studying in America. I called Rodrigo and Rebecca, I said, Rodrigo, this is my fifth year in the church that we started. Are you willing to come to Spain after you are done with studies and be the pastor of the church? So he said, yes. So they came back to Spain. We spent 1 year together. We were able to buy the place. The place was paid off 100%. We left the church in Mataró after 10 years with the leadership of a pastor, Rodrigo Delgado and Rebecca. We left. We came to America for a furlough, and this is the last time that we came to America, actually 15 years ago. We came to the United States in 2008. We went back to Spain in 2009, and we started the church in the city of Torredembarra. Now, Torredembarra, it's a city of the province of Tarragona. Catalonia, our region, has four provinces, Barcelona, Tarragona, Lérida, and Girona. And Tarragona, it's one of the provinces in the southern part of Catalonia. And the Lord put that city on my heart. So we were actually trying to find a place to live, first of all. And it was kind of difficult to find a place to live, but somebody told us that in that section of the area, there were some places. So we went there, the Lord gave us a house renting with an option of buying. And we had our apartment in Mataró that we bought, and we needed to sell in order to buy in Torredembarra. So we actually got the place to live renting with an option of buying. And as we arrived there one day, the house was almost done. It was just touching up some touches. And I saw a mason working in the house. So I introduced myself to the mason. His name was Eduardo. I said, good morning, Eduardo. My name is Joaquin. Where are you from? Because I knew that he was not from Spain. Eduardo said to me, I am from Ecuador. When he said Ecuador, I said, oh, wow, I know a wonderful story about Ecuador. You probably remember the five missionaries, Jim Elliot and so forth, that went to Ecuador and lost their lives in the jungle. I said, Eduardo, this is a wonderful story. So I started explaining Eduardo the story of Jim Elliot and the five missionaries. But I told Eduardo, I don't want to keep on talking because somebody is paying you and I don't want to steal the money of your boss. So what about if you call me, here is my phone number, call me, and we could talk, you know, sometime when you are free of work. Well, I thought that he was never going to call me, but sure enough, he gave me a phone call, and he asked me, Joaquin, will it be okay if I come with my wife? Because I like to keep on hearing, you know, the story and, you know, a few more things. I said, sure enough. So we met in a restaurant in Torredembarra with Eduardo, Gloria, and myself. And I shared the gospel with Eduardo and Gloria from A till Z. Well, I was done. I said, Eduardo and Gloria, did you understand what I just explained you? They said, completely. I said, do you want to ask the Lord to save you and that the Lord Jesus will be your Savior? They said, yes. So in that day, in that meeting, they bowed their heads in the restaurant. They asked the Lord to save them. And we started the church after we were settled in our place of living. We actually cleaned the place, cleaned the house, and then we used our living room to be the church of town because we didn't have any place to meet. So September 17, 2009, we had our first meeting in the living room of our house with Eduardo, Gloria, my youngest daughter Debbie, my wife Paki, a friend of mine, Julian, and myself, six people. The following Sunday, we had a couple of more, and we were 1 year in that living room, in that house, but my house was like 8 kilometers away from town. So I had to go with a car, pick up Eduardo, Gloria, and other people, bring them. Sometimes I had to do two trips, you know, to bring people. So after 1 year, the Lord gave us a storefront. a storefront that we were able to rent, and we were very happy to have that storefront in town to have meetings and worship services and preaching the gospel. And we were there for 12 years. Actually, the landlord that we were renting the place from, he was very nice. He was the builder of our house. And I asked one day to our landlord, do you know any place? He said to me, I have a place in town, you know, that you can rent if you want to. So he rented us a place for 600 euros a month. And after a year or two or 3 years, the place got a little too small. So I spoke with Joseph Sagala, the owner of the place. I said, Mr. Sagala, we need more space. Now, his office was here. The church was here, divided by a wall. So he brought that wall down, gave us more space, and he raised the monthly fee to 600 to 800 euros a month. So I asked a couple of three times, Mr. Sagala, we need more space. So he kept giving us more space, charging us more money. So finally, we were ending paying $1,100 euros a month, which is like $1,300 a month. Now, one day, a friend of mine called me, and he said, I have a place that I like you to see, two storefronts, very cheap for buying, because we were renting. I said, well, you know, Mr. Sagala has spent $7,000, euros actually, to be able to give us more space 6 months ago, and I don't feel to go back to Mr. Sagala and say that we are leaving. No, come, please, come, because you will really like that place. I said, okay, I will go. But as I was driving with my wife to that place, I said, please, Lord, allow me that I do not like the place. I don't know how to say that in English, but please help me that I will not like the place. You know, I don't like to move. I like, because, you know, I have kind of, you know, feelings for that man that really did a lot for us, charging us, definitely. And when I went into the place, wow, I saw that place. I loved it. It was so nice. Two storefronts, beautiful. And the man said to me, I could sell those two storefronts for you for 140,000 euros. Well, it's very cheap. 10 minutes later, he said 125. 10 minutes later, he said 110,000. Well, 2 months later, because I need to make the story short, okay? I can be here till 2 o'clock, you know, telling you things. So, actually, finally, the bank that he offered me, because he had a friend that was the head of the bank and was going to give us a mortgage. Finally, they didn't give us a mortgage, so I called the man. I said, well, if you want, we can give you 100,000 and we can go ahead and buy it. Actually, I think that you help us, you know, to get the building, so thank you so very much. Well, to make a long story short, we were able to buy the place, we were able to remodel the place, and through the first place and the second place, the Lord has really blessed us. We started the church with 6 people. 2 Sundays ago, we were around 70, 75 people in that storefront. So thank you so very much for praying for us, supporting our ministry. Now, why has it been taken so long to come to report to Faith Bible Church and other churches? Well, when you start a church and you have a baby church, you don't want to leave the baby church. Because if you leave the baby church, when you come back, there is no church. If you leave the teenager church, when you come back, there is no teenager church. So I wanted to be the church, at least a little bit grown up, that it is the case at this point. It's true that we had to take care of my mother, and I had also 3 surgeries in my hips. So when you add all this together, it's 15 years. But what a blessing to be able to come back to the States to report to some of our supporting churches, to Faith Bible Church, which is our home church, believe it or not. We have not been here for 15 years, and it is our home church. So we hope that probably next time we will not take that long, but who knows what the Lord will do in the next few years. The building that we were able to buy, actually 2 buildings together, that we bought and remodeled, we asked for a mortgage of 10 years. In 2 years, the buildings were paid off, so we don't have any debt. Also, there is a young man in our church, married with 3 children, that he was studying for the ministry, and I asked Brother Jesus, you want to be the pastor of the church. So now he's taking my place as we are in the United States. I heard Jesus preach this morning through YouTube, straight from Spain. And what a blessing to have the building pay off, a pastor ready to take the church, and in the next year or next year and a half, Paki and I will be free to do something else. We may start another church. We may help a missionary to start a church. I don't know exactly. I have not heard anything, from the Lord, but I know that the Lord will speak to me about, what is our next assignment in Spain, because I know that the Lord has called us to live in Spain. Somebody asked me, will you retire in America? I said, I don't think so. Yeah, if the Lord wants for me to retire in America, we have 3 children in the States. I don't like to retire in America. I like to burn my life in Spain. To me, speak English is not that easy. As I was telling Peggy before, I have to domesticate my tongue. My tongue wants to go another way. And I have to stay in English in America. it's something else. Well, in Pastor Madrid asked me, explain as many things of the ministry as you can. Well, yes, by the grace of God, by his strength and for his glory, we have been able to lead many people to Christ. As I was sharing in the Sunday school time, when people come to our church, maybe from another church in South America, we have immigrants. Like you do in America, we have immigrants also in Spain, from Africa, from South America, because South America, in general, they speak Spanish. So which country do I have to go? Spain, because we speak Spanish. So they come to our church because they have gone to a church in South America. I do not take for granted that they are saved. So I ask them, do you know if you die today that you will go to heaven? Well, 95%. So I meet with them, I share the gospel with them, and many occasions they are not saved. So I lead them to the Lord by his grace, by his power. And we have seen many people come to the Lord. Not only people from South America, but also people from Spain. Our church has 4 deacons right now. One of the deacons, Brother Jesus, Lord willing, is going to be the pastor of the church. So pray with us that the Lord will let us know in the next year or year and a half what is our next assignment, because we want to keep serving the Lord in Spain, and he has given us health and strength and the power of the Lord to keep on serving the Lord in that beautiful country. Now, what else can I tell you? We have Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service. We eat at the church every Sunday. We used to eat one Sunday a month at the church, and we like it so much. I say, well, what about if we eat every Sunday at church? So every Sunday, people bring food together. We had nice dining common with round tables, and we put the food there. Paki makes a nice paella every Sunday, and we spend a wonderful time together. Instead of having a 6 p.m. Church service, we have a 3 p.m. church service. So after lunch, eating together, 3 p.m. church service, and then we are free to go. And we have a prayer meeting service. We, through the years, have had Night Bible Institute. I have met with a lot of young families, married couple families, young people. We also have a 16-lesson course, discipleship course, that I teach, and we have been teaching that course to many, many people through the years. Now, we have a slide presentation, 15 years in 13 minutes. So after we are done with the live presentation, maybe you have a question or two, and I would like to answer those questions. And the best thing is that you come to Spain. Now, don't come all at once, please, okay? We'll have a problem, as I said, in Sunday school. But you may want to send Pastor Madrid and his wife to see us. And I know that Monse loves to come back to Spain. I remember, Monse, when we brought you here to the States. We came to the States for deputation, and we brought Monse because we were homeschooling our children. And I said, Monse is a teacher, a recognized Spanish teacher. And she didn't have any work in Spain. I said, Monse, do you want to come with us to the United States? We're going to raise support to come back to Spain and start churches. She said, well, yeah, I would like to come with you. So she came to the States, and here she has a wonderful daughter, 2 children. Roger is back there, so happy, big smile. She didn't want to come back with us to Spain. She wanted to stay here. Well, praise the Lord that she has a wonderful family now, and family, a spiritual family as well. So we are very thankful and happy to see Monse and his family and her family. Well, let's go to the slide presentation, and then we'll have some time to see something in the Word of God. So let's go.
precisamente porque sabemos que
ese primer amor es el más importante. Ese primer amor debería de existir toda la vida. Ese...
Gloria es.
Ferran, dilo, dilo fuerte.
¿Habéis encontrado en Cristo la felicidad?
¡Amén!
Personas recuerda la Navidad como un hecho cultural.
Mengue era un personaje curioso. Vestía de pieles de animales y comía muy raro.
¿Qué ha sucedido?
¿Qué pasó? ¿Qué habla?
Cristo, María, Cristo, su cuerpo no está en la tumba.
I thank the Lord for my salvation and for what the church has done for my life. The Lord brought peace and rest to my soul when I really need it.
Our church is a church that preaches sound doctrine, and the pastor is a man of strong convictions, and I really love it.
I was praying for a church to attend that could be a blessing to me, where I could find the love, the blessing of the Lord, and a family in Christ. And I can say I really found it.
In the middle of this society, where it was so difficult to find a sound and good preaching church, for my family, I can say that I found it, and since day one, it has been a blessing. Hello, my name is Carlos, and the Torredembarra Church is where I came to know the Lord as my personal Savior 10 years ago. It is such a blessing to be a member of this church, and I really enjoy every minute of the church services.
As you can see in the slides, I thank the Lord for my wife, Paki. She has been such a blessing to me. I mean, both of us make a good team. She does many things in the church, and I am very thankful to the Lord for her. Yeah. Any question that you may have? Any question? No questions? Okay. No problem at all. All right. I have a few minutes to share something from the Word of God. And the theme of my message today is the reality of the three worlds. And the title of my message is Living Under the Influence of One of the Three Worlds. Because everybody here is living under the influence of one of the three worlds. Now, the verse of the scripture today is in John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, there was one time, there was only existed one world, and that world is the heavenly world. Before, there was not earth, there was nothing else but the heavenly world. We don't know too much about that heavenly world. The Lord Jesus, in his prayer in John 17, tells us a few things about the heavenly world. He said that the Lord Jesus had wonderful love with God the Father. They had wonderful glory with God the Father before the world, this world that we are living in, was created. So many, many, many years ago, I don't know when, but there was only one world in existence. The Apostle Paul also tells us a few things about that world. He said, I know a man that he went to the third heaven. So we know that there are three heavens. The first heaven where the birds fly. We came flying from Spain to the United States in the first heaven. Then the second heaven where the stars and the galaxies are. But there is one galaxy, one star, that is, it is the last one. And in the last star, the last galaxy, starts the third heaven. That heaven has been in existence forever and ever and ever because it is the house of God before anything was created. Now, we know that in Revelation 4 and 5, as you read the book of Revelation 4 and 5, there are many wonderful things in the third heaven. There was one time that also existed one cherub in the heavenly world, and that cherub was Lucifer. Lucifer existed there, was created by God, and in the book of Ezekiel says, thou art that anointed cherub that covereth, and I have said thee so, thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, etc. So Lucifer also was in that heavenly world before anything was created. Only existed one world, the heavenly world. Now you know the story about Lucifer, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. He sinned against the Lord, and the Lord took Lucifer, threw him out of the third heaven, and another world was created. It is the infernal world. So actually put two rectangles, one on the top, one on the bottom. The top one is the heavenly world that existed forever and ever and ever. God created the infernal world or the underworld. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 14 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken all the nations, etc. And then the Bible says, I will be like the Most High, he said, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So there was one time when only existed two worlds, the heavenly world and the underworld, or the infernal world. Now, 6,000 years ago, more or less, the Lord created another world in between. Okay, let's paint three rectangles. One rectangle, the heavenly world. In the middle, the earthly world. And then on the bottom, the infernal world or underworld. And the Lord, actually, 6,000 years ago, as we read in Genesis 1 and 2, created that wonderful earthly world with the first heaven, second heaven, with all the stars and moon and earth and sun and galaxies and plants and animals and flowers and food and trees and grass, the beast of the earth, the beast of the sea. So this world, earthly world, it's wonderful, beautiful place to live. We see the stars, we see the moon, we see the sun, so many things in the world that God created, the earthly world. But Lucifer was in his world, in the underworld. And you probably remember in Genesis 3 that he made a trip to the earthly world. You remember Genesis chapter 3? And he spoke to Adam and Eve. He wanted to steal the scepter of Adam. So he finally did. And he became the prince of this world. He became the god of this age. He became the leader in the powers and principalities and dominions. So that earthly world became infected by the downworld, by the underworld, by the hellish world, and the earthly world got so bad that 1500 years after God created the earthly world, God had to send a flood to the earthly world. You remember Genesis chapter 6. So God told Noah, get ready, get your wife, your children, because I want to send a flood to destroy the earthly world. And that happened. You know, God sent a flood, destroyed everything, and God started all over in the earthly world. But from that point on, after the flood was sent by God, there also was a great tension that has been all the time with the two worlds. The earthly world in between, the underworld and the heavenly world has met in the earthly world with so much tension in between and so much difficulties. And you read the papers, you see the news on the television, and you see how this world is. I mean, there is no doubt about it, that the devil, Lucifer, Satan, actually is doing and has done so many things in this earthly world. And the underworld has come up so heavily to the earthly world. And we can feel it. We feel it in America. We feel it in Spain. We see the news. We see that everything is almost rotten to the core. It's amazing. Now, the underworld has had a great influence in the earthly world. But the heavenly world has had also a great influence in the earthly world. Praise the Lord. Now, when the Lord Jesus came in Matthew 4:17, says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the Lord Jesus said that many times. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven came down to the earthly world. Now, in the Old Testament, God sent prophets. God sent messengers to the world. Actually, the true Jehovah Witness were the people of Israel. The people of Israel, the Jehovah Witnesses that run around in Spain, they are very popular. Many, many, many Jehovah Witnesses. They are false Jehovah Witnesses. The true Jehovah Witness is the people of Israel. But they were bad Jehovah Witnesses. But God sent prophets. God put Israel to be the light of the world. And actually, the Lord Jesus Christ was born in the land of Israel through that messianic line in Israel. So that he came from the heavenly world to the earthly world to die for us. And Satan also met the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Matthew chapter 4? When the Lord Jesus was approached by Satan with those temptations so hard. Now, again, there has been so much tension between the two worlds, the heavenly world and the underworld. So much tension. Now, we are living in the earthly world. Are you in the earthly world? Yes, we are in the earthly world right now. Okay? We are here in the earthly world. And I don't know how long we will live in the earthly world, but praise the Lord that we as Christians, we know that one day we will go to the heavenly world. Because as Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So we have the hope and the sure hope. It's not a maybe, it's a sure hope that one day, not many years from now, all of us will be in the heavenly world if we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, in this earthly world, we still have a lot of tension. Do you feel that tension in America? We feel it in Spain very much. There it's great that infernal world is really having a lot of success in Spain, around the world, actually. And we are living in the last days. Praise the Lord. I don't think that the Lord will take too long to come back and take us home to the heavenly world. Now, we are in the earthly world. And we are supposed to be soldiers of Christ. We are supposed to live in victory all the time, surprised by defeat. Okay, let us be honest, okay? Sometimes we experience defeat. But it's not the way that we want to live in this earthly world. with so much tension from the underworld. We don't want to live in defeat, surprised by victory. We like to live in this earthly world in victory, surprised by defeat. Let us be honest. So in order to live in the earthly world, between the two worlds, with so much tension, in victory, surprised by defeat, God has done a few things for you and me. What God has done for you and me? Well, first of all, as I read in the beginning, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For whatsoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So this is the first thing that God does. We have not done it. God did it. It was his desire, his initiative. He decided to come to this earthly world. He saw the tension. He saw the mess that Satan created in that earthly world. That said, actually, Genesis 3:15, you remember that verse, Genesis 3:15? Is the proto-evangelium, proto-gospel. Maybe it's said another way in English. In Spanish, it's proto-evangelio, el proto-evangelio. So in Genesis 3:15, right there, when God saved Adam and Eve, they were covered with leaves of figs that, you know, withered away. God killed probably a lamb or two or three lambs, explained the gospel to Adam and Eve, and says, okay, somebody has to die to redeem you from sin. Somebody has to shed his blood, a life for you. So I am sure the Lord, the Bible does not say so, but because of the pattern of the Bible, I understand that the Lord took time to share the gospel with Adam and Eve, killed probably two or three lambs, covered Adam and Eve with skin, the skins of animals, and I believe that Adam and Eve were saved. And the Lord brought to this earthly world the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So 4,000 years later, after those lambs were killed, I am sure probably there were lambs, the Lamb of God came 4,000 years later. And this is something that God has done so that we can know Jesus and have true salvation by grace through faith. And this is something that God has done. We have not done it. Christ died for us. What a wonderful thing that we have a wonderful and great Savior. So in order for us to live the Christian life in a victorious way, surprised by defeat, Jesus came, died for us, gave us salvation, and this is the first thing. Second thing, what has God done? His initiative. He has given us a Bible. That in the Bible, God told the Joshua, you remember Joshua? In the Old Testament, the Lord told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, God gave 5 books to Joshua, the law, 5 books. Joshua's Bible didn't have the book of Psalms. Joshua's Bible didn't have the book of Proverbs. But we have a Bible, not only with 5 books, 66 books. And God has sent this Bible to the earthly world to help us live victoriously, surprised by defeat. What a wonderful thing to have a Bible, to have Christ, first of all. This is something that God has done. I have not come up with a Bible. When I was born, I had already, the Bible was here already. So God has said, okay, no problem, I will give you a GPS. In Sunday school, I told them about the story, you know, coming to Faith Bible Church this morning. I was coming by faith in my GPS. I don't know where I was driving. The GPS says, go this way, and then go this way. I said, are you sure are taking me to Mount Joy? I told Paki, maybe the GPS is taking us to Lebanon, you know, Pennsylvania. Well, I kept on having faith on my GPS. Now, the same way, the Bible is a spiritual GPS. Yeah, you don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. The Bible. God, in this tension between the heavenly world and the underworld, God has given us salvation through Christ. He has given us a Bible. And the Bible is like wonderful milk, solid food, a sword, fire and a hammer, a mirror, a seed, a lamp that is shining in darkness, water, gold and honey, and an anchor. All of these things is the Bible for us. Are you happy to have a Bible in the earthly world? Are you reading the Bible? Are you meditating the Bible? We have to keep the Bible in our hearts. This is a wonderful thing that God has given us from the heavenly world to the earthly world. Now, another thing that God has given us is the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit. Now, what can we do without the Holy Spirit? Nothing at all. When the Lord Jesus left the earthly world, told his disciples in John 14, 15, and 16, I will send you the Comforter. And sure enough, in the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the Lord sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave power to the people in that city of Jerusalem, in that place where they were meeting 120 people. The Holy Spirit came down, and the Holy Spirit is still in this earthly world because he wants to be with you. He wants to walk along ways with you. He wants to live within you. The Bible says, ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is within you. And the Holy Spirit, it's a person, the third person of the Trinity. And it's very easy to quench the Holy Spirit. So let's deal and let's treat the Holy Spirit in a very tender way. He's God, the third person of the Trinity. He's with us from the heavenly world to the earthly world so that we can have victory over the underworld. And these are things that the Lord has given us. And we do not deserve them. But he loves us, for God so loved the world. So he is giving us salvation, the Bible, the Holy Spirit. One more thing that God has given us to help us live the Christian life victoriously, surprised maybe by defeat. Surprised by defeat. What it is? The church. It is great that Faith Bible Church is in this place of Pennsylvania, Mount Joy. Are you a member of this church? If you are not, still, speak with Pastor Madrid. Pastor Madrid, I want to be a member of this church right away. I want to be a member of a church. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Wow. So the church is so important. Prayer meeting is so important. Are you coming to the prayer meeting? I don't know why prayer meetings are not well attended. I don't know if this happens in America, but in Spain it happens. You know, we have many people Sunday morning, Sunday evening, not so many. Prayer meeting. Not many people come to prayer meeting. We are supposed to come to prayer meeting. Somebody said that it is the most important service of the week, prayer meeting. So what about if you from now on, if you can, I mean, if you can know you are working in the factory, well, take time, you know, while you work, pray. But if you can, come to prayer meeting Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock Wednesday nights, come to prayer meeting. It's the church. It's what the Lord has given us in this earthly world so that we can have victory over the underworld because there is a lot of pressure. Did you feel it? Now, there are a few things I have to finish, but there are a few things that all these things the Lord has done. We have nothing to do with all these things. We have nothing to do with Calvary. No, I was not here. We have nothing to do with the Bible. We have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. We have nothing to do with the church. Things that God has established, giving us from the heavenly world to the earthly world for us to be able to live victoriously under the pressure of the underworld. Now, there are a few things that it's our responsibility. There are a few things that we need to do. Now, what do we need to do? God has done his part. Now, we need to do our part. What do we need to do? First of all, we need to put the whole armor of God. In the book of
Ephesians says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having that all, stand. So this is something that we need to do. Now, are we putting the whole armor of God? I could keep reading the verses, what is the armor of God, the breastplate and the helmet and so forth. I am not going to go into that direction, because if not, we will be here next week. So are we putting the whole armor of God? God has given us an armor. Imagine going to the war without a rifle or without a gun. Now, God has given us exactly what we need. But we have to put them on ourselves. God is not going to put it for us. We need to put the whole armor of God ourselves. Some more things that we need to do in order to live victoriously in this earthly world against the underworld, which is very strong. One more thing. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So one more thing that we need to do in order to have victoriously under the influence on the underworld is put our affections on things above. Now, Colossians chapter 3, if we keep reading, Paul said to the Colossians people, you need to kill some things in the earthly world. Now, I have not killed many things in my life. I kill a rabbit. No, a rabbit, no. I kill a squirrel in Florida. I felt so bad. I thought about the babies, The babies that probably, when I killed that squirrel, I said, oh, maybe she has some babies, there in the nest. And I felt so bad. If I could, I could resurrect the squirrel. But the squirrel was dead. Now, we are not supposed to feel so bad when it comes to killing. Colossians chapter 3, fornication. And this world is full of fornication. Uncleanness. And this world is full of uncleanness. Inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh to the children of disobedience, in which ye also walk some time when ye live in them. Now, we need to kill a few things. And Paul said to Colossians, kill those things, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, etc. Now, we need to take away, as the Reina Valera, my Spanish Bible says, take away, put off these things. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put on the old man with his deeds, etc. So this is something that we need to do. We need to put the whole armor of God. We need to look above where the Lord is seated before the Father. We need to kill a few things in the earthly world. We need to take away a few things in the earthly world. So things that we need to do. Now, things that we do not need to do. That is one thing that we do not need to do. And it's found in 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So things that we need to do and things that we do not need to do. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. So in the beginning, as I was starting my message, I was saying, which world are you going to be serving? The heavenly world? The earthly world? Maybe you are serving the underworld. I'll tell you, there is a lot in this earthly world of the underworld. So many people serving Satan in the earthly world. And Jesus said, do not love the underworld. Do not love the earthly world. Love the heavenly. Now, Jesus, in his prayer, said, they are in the world, but they are not of the world. But we are in the world. And as Pastor said before, we need to look for souls in the world so that we will be able to preach this message to them and that we will rescue them by the grace of God, by faith through grace, or by grace through faith, preaching them the gospel. They will be able to be born again in this earthly world, and that we will be able to see them one day in the heavenly world. Like some of the people that you have seen, those people that you have seen in our video presentation, they came to know the Lord in our ministry. What a wonderful thing to see Anna. Anna, the first lady that spoke, she's a business woman. She has some clothes store in town. She's very active, and she was in a very depressed way. You know who brought Anna to church? Eduardo, the mason. The one that I met, Eduardo, in my house, the first person to come to know the Lord in my house, he brought Anna to our church, and she got saved. Carlos, the last one, a wonderful man. I love Carlos. He's so wonderful. And he came to know the Lord. I remember when he came to know the Lord. I remember when we baptized him. And it is great. It is great to be able to be in the earthly world with the Bible, with the Holy Spirit, with the church, preaching the Great Commission, making disciples. And you are in Spain, helping us building a church. We are your missionaries. You are supporting us in prayer, in finances. And you are, our church in Spain, as Pastor said, is an extension of Faith Bible Church. So thank you very much for helping us in the earthly world, fighting against the underworld and pulling people from that earthly world to the heavenly world for his glory and honor. Are you going to serve the heavenly world? Are you going to give yourself fully, completely to the heavenly world? Do it. If you have some fight in your heart, if you feel the tension and you don't know what to do, come to the Lord. He wants you to go to him and open your arms and embrace the Lord Jesus and say, okay, till this point I have come. From now on, I am going to give my life and my heart to Jesus for good. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Bible, for the Holy Spirit, for the church, for so many things that you have done, for providing us with a blueprint to be able to follow it, do thy will, so that we will live in this earthly world in a victorious way. Take all the glory, Lord, forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.